The air grew thin, and he thought the summit couldn't be far. Perhaps tomorrow. Tomorrow came and went. It didn't snow again, but the snow in the road was 6 inches deep, and pushing the cart up those grades was exhausting work. He thought they'd have to leave it. How much could they carry? He stood and looked out over the barren slopes. The ash fell on the snow till it was all but black. At every curve, it looked as though the pass lay just ahead. And then one evening he stopped and looked all about, and he recognized it. He unsnapped the throat of his parka and lowered the hood and stood listening. The wind in the dead black stands of Hemlock, the empty parking lot at the overlook. The boy stood beside him, where he'd stood once with his own father in a winter long ago.
"What is it, Papa?" the boy said.
"It's the gap. This is it." In the morning they pressed on. It was very cold. Toward the afternoon it began to snow again, and they made camp early and crouched under the lean-to of the tarp and watched the snow fall in the fire. By morning there were several inches of new snow on the ground, but the snow had stopped, and it was so quiet they could all but hear their hearts. He piled wood on the coals and fanned the fire to life and trudged out through the drifts to dig out the cart. He sorted through the cans and went back, and they sat by the fire and ate the last of their crackers and a tin of sausage. In a pocket in his knapsack, he'd found a last half packet of cocoa, and he fixed it for the boy, and then poured his own cup with hot water and sat blowing at the rim.
"You promised not to do that," the boy said.
"What?"
"You know what, Papa."
He poured the hot water back into the pan and took the boy's cup and poured some of the cocoa into his own and then handed it back.
"I have to watch you all the time," the boy said.
"I know."
"If you break little promises, you'll break big ones. That's what you said."
"I know, but I won't." They slogged all day down the south-facing slope of the watershed. In the deeper drifts, the cart wouldn't push at all, and he had to drag it behind him with one hand while he broke trail. Anywhere but in the mountains, they might have found something to use for a sled, an old metal sign or a sheet of roofing tin. The wrappings on their feet had soaked through, and they were cold and wet all day. He leaned on the cart to get his breath while the boy waited. There was a sharp crack from somewhere on the mountain, then another. "It's just a tree falling," he said. "It's okay."
The boy was looking at the dead roadside trees.
"It's okay," the man said. "All the trees in the world are going to fall sooner or later, but not on us."
"How do you know?"
"I just know."
Still, they came to trees across the road, where they were forced to unload the cart and carry everything over the trunks and then repack it on the far side. The boy found toys he'd forgot he had. He kept out a yellow truck, and they went on with it sitting on top of the tarp. They camped in a bench of land on the far side of a frozen roadside creek. The wind had blown the ash from the ice, and the ice was black, and the creek looked like a path of basalt winding through the woods. They collected firewood from the north side of the slope, where it wasn't so wet, pushing over whole trees and dragging them into camp. They got the fire going, then spread their tarp and hung their wet clothes on poles to steam and stink, and they sat wrapped in the quilts naked while the man held the boy's feet against his stomach to warm them.